Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I want to talk a little wrestling, WrestleMania, coming up in a second, but still have some people want to weigh in from a week ago. Or a week ago. What am I, an idiot? From the last hour on the topic I was just talking about. I don't know where the hell a week ago came from. Give another person a chance to weigh in on CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all at geico.com. Craig in Lansing, Michigan. Craig, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Craig?
Hey, good morning. Thanks. I want to weigh in on a couple things. The different eras and Jordan LeBron thing. Both of them real quickly. At age 34, Michael Jordan was coming off his second straight championship. He just got done beating two Hall of Famers, the all-time leading assist guy mm-hmm. and the second all-time leading scorer. And then at 35, he beat him again. I mean, that's
you want me to flip that on you real quick, though? In his 16th season, Michael Jordan, which LeBron's in, Michael Jordan missed the playoffs.
That's what I'm getting at. I was saying that I think that Jordan's more of a stone cold killer. They're both great athletes.
Wait. You were getting at the point that he missed the playoffs in the same equivalent season as LeBron? Because you're using age. I could easily do seasons and tear that point apart is what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying at age 34...
I understand exactly what you're saying. I'm saying that using the age isn't exactly apples to apples because Michael Jordan played in college. And therefore, when he got into the NBA, he was older than LeBron. LeBron has already played more minutes in his career than Michael Jordan played in his entire career, if you count the playoffs, I believe. And if you're looking at just their seasons, in the equivalent season for Michael Jordan, he did not make the playoffs.
Okay, fine. Let's say they were both 25 years old. Michael Jordan just got done winning his second straight championship and went on to win another one after that. And let's say LeBron was also 25. He didn't make the playoffs. I don't care what age they are. The thing is, if you want to take age out of it, fine. I just think Michael Jordan's more of a stone-cold killer than LeBron is, and that's why he has six rings, and that's why LeBron won't win another one, man. I mean, he'd be lucky.
Actually, I don't even think Jordan played a 16th season. I think he played 15 seasons in the NBA. But nevertheless, at that equivalent point, he was not making the playoffs.
He sat out for most of two seasons, too, and he still won six. But the other thing I want to talk about...
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's funny if he sat out, like if LeBron, and I know the circumstances around, and I don't want to do a whole... Like, Michael Jordan's unbelievably great. I mean, it's a perfectly reasonable thing to say he's the greatest player ever. I just don't understand why Jordan fans sometimes get so defensive. And when you say stuff like the killer thing, like that's an abstract idea. There's no way to actually measure that. I do often get amused, though, and I know there is more to the Jordan story, but I often get amused by how relentlessly mocked LeBron would be if he just took 2 years off to go play baseball. Like, what would people say?
he would be, but Jordan was that great that they didn't make fun of him because, plus, his dad just died. I mean, what are you going to make fun of a guy?
There's conspiracy theories around Michael Jordan at that time. I'm saying just LeBron's situation. Think about how relentlessly mocked he would be if he went and played baseball or did something else.
I agree with you totally. Yes, he would be. But, you know, that's another, you know, you're right. You're right about that. I just think people don't respect LeBron as much as Jordan. And nowadays, people... jump on making fun of people more now than they did back then.
I think the biggest difference is just the way these things are covered. You know, Michael Jordan it was lucky in a sense where he played before the 24/7 news cycle, before the social media era. So when people were, knock on Michael Jordan was he's too selfish or whatnot. But that was like a newspaper columnist who would write it a couple days after a game or a day after a game. He didn't have to deal with as soon as he did something, there's 150 different people talking about it on TV or the radio or digital platforms and everyone in the world having an opinion online.
Now, along with the greatest players of all time theme, maybe I'm biased because I grew up in Lansing, Michigan. I went to the same high school as Magic Johnson. But I don't think that I have to be biased to think that to get to the conversation of who's are you, you know, you better or Jordan, don't you got to get by Johnson? Would you consider Magic Johnson in the top at least three? Or, you know, I'd say it has to be, if you don't think he's number two, he's got to be number three.
I think the top two is LeBron and Jordan. I think it's 1A and 1B, LeBron and Jordan, however you want to mix that up. Unfortunately, some of these guys, it's tough for historical, you know, comparisons because some of them are before my time. So you have guys like Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Well, it's also tough to compare big men. But I would say Magic Johnson is top five, at worst top ten.
The reason why I brought that up to Eras earlier, because I think when Wilt Chamberlain, that guy brought up Eras earlier in the show, and when he said that, I thought, okay, back when Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain, and you're like the only seven-footer, that's an era. That's one era. But if you compare Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and Jordan all the way up to now, there's not going to be any bigger players than Shaq or Rick Smith. There's not going to be anybody that's faster than Allen Iverson or that can shoot any better, maybe as well as Larry Bird or Reggie Miller. I mean, even if you want to say Steph's a better shot than them, point is people could still shoot threes back then. I don't think the eras has changed that much in the last 30 years.
Oh, I think it's changed dramatically. I mean, you look at just the volume of threes. The volume of threes and the efficiency that they're hit at.
I'm saying that not the level of, like, if they asked Larry Bird, hey, Larry, shoot 10 more threes tonight.
Sure. I mean, I think great players from any era would adapt, no doubt. But the game has changed. And then there's just human evolution. Like, the nutrition, the training that guys are, able to access. And then just like, you know, natural evolution, you're going to get guys are more athletic now than they were then. I don't know why that's always it's a controversial thing to say. I hope that I'm able to admit 15 years from now, whether I say that stuff for my era is greater than that era. Guys, 15 years from now, knock on whatever this material the desk is made of, that the earth is still around at that point, guys are more athletic then than they are now. I mean, that should be the way it works. You know, there's just going to be new inventions. There's going to be new training methods. There's going to be new discoveries, new whatever it is. Guys should be more athletic then even than they are now, which is ridiculous to think about because the level of athleticism you see in basketball is mind-numbingly good. All right, I said I was going to talk WrestleMania, and I am. And you know, I'm going to use the eras conversation to get into it, actually, because think about how things change over time, right? Like, things can change faster than you even realize. We were just talking about the media industry and the way Jordan was covered versus how LeBron is covered. You know, in my lifetime, I played fantasy football out of the newspaper when fantasy football first started. My dad would take the newspaper, go through the box scores, and calculate our scores. And I would read magazines. And I had a cell phone before there were smartphones. I had a time where I didn't have a cell phone. I remember a time when there wasn't the internet. I remember dial-up internet. You know, and think about how things have changed since then. The newspaper has had to completely adapt to being online. Cable industry right now is scrambling. What are we doing? How do we evolve? Because everything's gone digital. And people are cutting the cord. When, you know, ESPN, for example, would do nothing but expand at one point because they were making so much money off the cable bundles. ESPNU, ESPN2 led to the joke, the Ocho. And now they're trying to figure out how to, you know, adapt online. And everything's sort of the wild, wild west because everything is changing. Because we can get things on our phone. Because we can check the scores. You don't have to wait for the highlight show. You get it right away, immediately. Everybody has an opinion, immediately. It's changed. Look at the music industry. You know, when I was growing up, it was cassettes. And then cassettes made way for CDs. Well, look at these. These are fancy CDs. And then CDs made way for MP3s. And then MP3s made way for streaming. And things can just change and evolve over time. And I say that because sometimes you lose sight of the reality you were once in. You know, I used to do a radio show where we were criticized for sort of outside of the box thinking and not doing just sports and you know, blending in pop culture and you know, fun superhero versus superhero arguments or whatnot. You know what I mean? And we used to get so much crap for that. And nowadays you see so many different shows like that. And another thing was wrestling. At the time, talked about wrestling, get yelled at. What are you talking about? This is a sports show. You can't be talking about wrestling. And now every sports show almost talks about wrestling. Every sports network talks about wrestling. Right? ESPN covers pro wrestling. Where I work during the week, Sports Illustrated covers pro wrestling. Here, pro wrestling. Doesn't Taz have a show tomorrow night, Anthony? CBS Sports Radio?
Yes, he does. 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern.
There you go. 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern, a show exclusively dedicated to pro wrestling here on CBS Sports Radio. Every outlet covers pro wrestling. And I think it's wise because I've always said this, and I used to argue this when I was getting brushed back from bosses at a different place about the way we did shows. And I would say, yes, we're a sports show. Fundamentally, we are a sports show. People are here because they are interested in sports. But beyond that, we're a demographic show. We're a show for a people of the demographic who are, it's not going to always hit. You know, everything you're talking about is not always going to be interested to every segment of your audience. But you have to realize that your audience is very much like you in many ways. Their interests are going to be very much like you. So what is a sports fan maybe also going to like? Superheroes and pro wrestling and Game of Thrones that's going on now, right? And you know, some of the music references that you'll hear me make, because it's going to be people that are like-minded. And some people are going to feel left out. They're going to say, I don't care. I've never heard of that thing. You know, I don't listen to rap music. Or I've never seen comic books or for kids. You know, like, you're gonna, pro wrestling's fake. You're going to miss a segment of the audience with all that stuff you're talking about. But if you're talking, like, from a Venn diagram standpoint, there's going to be a lot of people in that middle area who are interested in a lot of the same stuff you're interested in. And if you're doing a demographic show, and all demographics are welcome here, I would love everyone to listen. But you're mostly talking about, what do they say, men 25 to 54 or men 18 to 54. And ladies, please don't let that men in front of it shy you away. Please listen. Kathy, shouts to calling earlier in the show. But that demographic is also the same one that's likely wrestling fans. And I think you've seen over time people in positions of authority acknowledge that. Because they've realized, oh, wow, people are into wrestling. Wrestling is big. People are following and consuming wrestling content. So with all that said, I have no problem with sports entities covering pro wrestling. Pro wrestling is not a sport. Let's be clear. It's not a sport. Many of the participants are athletes, I would argue. They're athletic. But it's not a sport. It's not a legitimate competition. Therefore, it's disqualified as a sport. But it's sports adjacent, because so many people who are into sports are also into pro wrestling. And therefore, I'm cool with it being covered by sports entities. Some people may still have a backlash saying, you know, this is a sports show. Why are you covering a non-sport? Should WrestleMania be covered like a major sporting event? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember when John Cena was a rapper? Is he still a rapper at all? Does he still rap? I haven't heard him rap in a while.
No, he hasn't done that in a while. He's barely, you know, he's making the movies, so he's barely on WWE television anymore.
He's a part-timer.
He's
not participating in WrestleMania, right?
He is going to show up. We just don't know exactly what his role is going to be.
But he's not in a match.
There have been rumors that he will participate in the match, and that's being kept very, very tight-lipped. It's very secret.
Mm.
But He will be there, but we don't know exactly again what his role is going to be. There are some rumors that he might wind up participating in a match, but it just everyone's being very hush-hush about it.
How about The Undertaker? He's not going to be
there. Same thing.
Okay.
A lot of people didn't expect that he was going to show up at all. It is confirmed he is in the area. He is in New York City, so it is expected that he will again make an appearance, but again, we have absolutely no idea what kind of role he is going to play, but it appears as if both Cena and The Undertaker will be there tomorrow night at MetLife.
I hope Undertaker doesn't wrestle. I start getting concerned for his safety when he's wrestling now.
He just lost a bunch of weight. I believe he dropped like 25 pounds, I want to say. I believe he had posted on his Instagram a couple days ago. He lost a bunch of weight. And he talked about how he is not, it's not over yet. He alluded to, you know, he made some kind of comment about, you know, don't count him out, or, you know, he still has more to give, something
along
those lines.
Well, I think, you know, if either of those guys or both those guys show up, it will obviously cause for a big moment at MetLife Stadium. But I think it's also good for them not to be relying on those guys.
No, they can't. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, they're both part-timers, so they need to elevate some of the younger talent now. But and it's I hate to say this because The Undertaker is a legend in the business, but it's been very difficult watching his matches recently.
In the past
couple of years, they have not been up to the standard that, you know, we've come to expect from him, and again, reasonably so at his age, and I mean the beating that he's put on his body all these years, but it's been a long time since he's had a really, where you could say, a great match.
Well, I mean, I remember The Undertaker's WrestleMania debut. It was against Jimmy Superfly Snuka. It was the first time I saw him, and I was a little kid. I mean, that's when I was still watching wrestling tapes on Coliseum Video. My aunt worked at a Blockbuster Video. We would go there and get the Coliseum videos and go back and watch the wrestling tapes. But I remember the last time WrestleMania was at MetLife Stadium in the New York area.
That was his last great WrestleMania match against CM Punk, WrestleMania 29.
I was in the building. I wanted to, you know, WrestleMania was here. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to WrestleMania. My wife and I went to WrestleMania. I don't know. Were we married yet? Let me not get into that conversation because then I'll forget when I got married and it'll be a problem. So we were at WrestleMania, and I'll remember this forever because it was a lot of fun. John Cena and The Rock was the main event. Not a very good match, actually, to be honest with you. I mean, you would have thought it would be a big thing of The Rock was at the peak of his stardom, but just for whatever. And Rock got hurt, I think, early in that match, so maybe that contributed. He, like, tore his abdomen or something like that. His abductor muscle, maybe. But the best, Undertaker against CM Punk, that was a great match. And I remember there was this family behind us, a little girl, and I was arguing with her the whole night. She was going for Undertaker, so I was going for CM Punk, and we were just talking trash in a good-natured way the whole night, but there was a lot of fun. It added to my experience. Part of going to a wrestling event, you know, I've been to a handful over my life, is the fan experience, right? And I knew The Undertaker was going to win. He was still in the midst of his streak, but I liked having fun with that girl.
He wound up losing. That streak wound up getting snapped the following year, WrestleMania 30,
Brock
30
Lesnar.
To Lesnar. But yeah.
And that guy's face that will live in infamy, the guy in the crowd with the glasses who was like, The Undertaker lost. I can't believe it. He actually, how many straight WrestleMania matches did he win?
He was what, 21-0?
Mm-hmm. He's, you know, I actually, my personal opinion, I'm not a huge Undertaker guy. Even when I was a kid, I didn't really like the gimmick. You know, it's like, oh, this guy comes back from the dead. What are you talking about? And then he was a biker.
The greatest entrance of all time, in my opinion.
Even that takes too long for me. I never was a big Undertaker guy. His finishing move, their head doesn't even hit the mat on the tombstone. He was like a big guy in the set of his moveset. But that's my personal opinion. Objectively, he's one of the greatest of all time. He might be on the, you know, he's right outside of the Mount Rushmore. If he's not on the, you know, if you could carve two Mount Rushmores,
he's the greatest like character of all time.
And people in the business love him. Like, I've talked to people in the business, the respect for him is immense. I think if you're ranking the all-time greats, my personal like top Mount Rushmore, I guess, or top five would be The Rock and Stone Cold, Macho Man, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Mick Foley, right in that range. But if you're talking like the greatest, if I'm just saying objectively greatest, I think it has to, you have to keep The Rock and Stone Cold in that list with Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, The Undertaker, probably right there. In that he might be top five as far as like the objective list of greatest. So had a legendary career in the ring. The most significant thing about this WrestleMania is that the ladies are headlining it. And you know that, like,
and what's great about it too is that this is something that is just, it wasn't handed to them because of how society and how we're viewing women. Like, they earned it. It's just not being handed. It's because the fans demanded it.
Well, Becky Lynch is like the biggest thing, right?
Yes.
And here's what I'll say to that, because I said this before, and I think you're 100% correct, Anthony. It's not like a token thing. And it's, you know, and I mean this not to be demeaning, but they've come such a long way. Because I remember, you know, when I was younger, people used to joke about going to the bathroom during the women's matches, or who wants to see this, or something like that. And now they're main eventing WrestleMania because they earned it. Because they're the stars, because on merit, they should be main eventing WrestleMania, and that's a cool thing. It should be recognized as it has been. So, congratulations to the ladies there. I've talked to Charlotte Flair on a number of occasions. I really like her. Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey headlining WrestleMania. So, I think you know, Anthony, I was a fan growing up. I was a super fan in high school during the Attitude Era, the Monday Night War era. And since then, I've always liked to use wrestling as a frame of reference or analogies, and I'll parachute in every now and again. Something's going on, I'll parachute in, I'll check it out, and I think tomorrow will probably be one of those times where I parachute in, having not consumed any wrestling in however many months, and watch WrestleMania. If you want to weigh in on anything wrestling or WrestleMania related, now is your chance. Best finisher of all time, best wrestler of all time, best entrance song, best entrance, best whatever, you know, best match tomorrow, 855-212-4227. Whether wrestling should be covered by sports shows, I just told you what I thought about that. I think it's a demographic show. It's not a sport, but it's sports adjacent. I have no problem with it. You can weigh in on any of that stuff, and I'll get to everything I have not in the show as of yet, coming up next after this sports flash from Peter Schwartz, who I think you're a wrestling fan, aren't you?
I was, you know, growing up and up until, you know, a few years back. I would probably do Stone Cold, The Rock, Hogan, Andre the Giant, Macho Man. Is that five?
Yes, that's five, yeah.
See, I got to put Piper in there. So Piper would be honorable mention.
See, the guy I'd argue for, like, really high, Shawn Michaels. I think, like,
yeah.
He when you combine, like, his character with his microphone, but most importantly his in-ring presence,
yeah.
he was unbelievable.
I think he has the best entrance music.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I like that. I tried to convince my younger son at my older son's bar mitzvah in November, because we needed a song to introduce Jared, and I tried to convince him to use Shawn Michaels' entrance song. I played it for him, and he wanted no part of it. I was so disappointed.
Well, he's a little younger, too. He didn't grow up in that era. He probably knows, if he knows Shawn Michaels at all, it's probably from D-Generation X, right?
Well, yeah, it was Sexy Boy.
That was the Shawn Michaels entrance. Yeah, he was a Rockers before that.
Yes.
Then he put Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window, and then he became the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, and then he became whatever he was in D-Generation X.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. That was a really good rejoin considering the music there. Shawn Michaels, man, I'll remember forever when he put Marty Jannetty. That's one of the great references of all time. Whenever somebody like betrays someone or just does somebody dirty, it's Shawn Michaels putting Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window. Man, they were tag team partners. Then they, you know, refuting, and it looked like they were going to make up. And as soon as they were making up, Shawn Michaels super kicks him right through the glass window. And that was the end of Marty Jannetty's career. Like, for real. Like, you never heard from Marty Jannetty again at that point. Shawn Michaels went on to become one of the biggest stars in the business. As we're talking wrestling, 855-212-4227. Take a couple of your calls before I get to everything I have not. Let's go to Jason in Louisiana. Jason, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Jason?
Well, I'm on my way to my 11th WrestleMania, man, and I can't wait.
11? So you're headed up to my neck of the woods, man.
I am, yes, sir.
Are you on the road?
Well, I'm stopped right now, but yeah.
Well, I know you're driving from Louisiana to Jersey?
I'm driving to Louisiana to Jersey, and then we're going to be going to Barclays for Monday Night Raw and Tuesday Night SmackDown, man. I'm just a huge fan, buddy.
Well, obviously, that's awesome, dude. Where are you at right now?
Right now, I'm crossing into Georgia.
Oh, so you still got a little trip in front of you.
Yeah, I should I should be there by 11 o'clock tonight, but I got some buddies with me. We're swapping out. So, I mean, we're just huge fans, man. Huge fans.
Hey, man, thanks for calling. Enjoy the rest of your trip, dude. That's a cool story and have tons
but
of fun.
I wanted to ask you something.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You know, you see, like, people like Stone Cold and The Rock that pioneered the era where, you know, promos had no limits. And I'm not a big fan of Taker, but I respect him because the streak put him on a whole nother level, you know, towards the end with Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Bray Wyatt. You know, to him to lose to Brock wasn't really a shock. But, man, it's guys like Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, and Piper where all these people, you know, they pioneered the segments where they had talk shows. And you hear, like, guys like Jericho and Kevin Owens and Edge with the Cutting Edge. It's guys like that, the promos that get me excited. Where would you put Dusty Rhodes on your list, man?
You know, I'd really, and I don't want to come off disrespectful, but I have to expand the list a bunch. You know, I remember the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, from when I was growing up, but I would think of him in like a level below, you know, which is okay, but a level below the Hulk Hogan's and the Macho Man's and the Ric Flair's of that era. So you're probably talking one of the 100 greatest of all time, but they're... You know, for a variety of circumstances, guys sometimes don't get to quite that top level. But obviously for a wrestling fan like yourself, you're going to remember some of those guys very, very near and dear to your heart. Super cool. Have a ton of fun this weekend, dude. Marty in Florida. Marty, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, how you doing this morning, Robin?
I'm doing well.
Dusty Rhodes is top 20 all time, no doubt. He was a big territory wrestler. But if you talk to anybody in the wrestling business, as far as promos go, he may be one or two all time. Dusty Rhodes taught these people that are out there talking now. Dusty is the guy that taught these kids how to do these promos when they were down in FCW. They give him a lot of credit on the network if you listen to the kids when they do the behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah, I mean, a lot of those guys are pioneers in that way. I mean, there's so many guys that have been great on the mic. The Rock, Stone Cold, Shawn Michaels, I just mentioned John Cena. You know, Macho Man for the way his character was. A lot of guys. But, yeah, he definitely was a great talker in his day.
I think what you're going to see at Mania is I think Taker's going to come out and he's going to crush Corbin. The match won't last as long as Taker's entrance. That way Cena can be Angle's last match like Angle was Cena's first. And that should be a pretty good WrestleMania moment there.
I'm sure they've got some surprises planned. I mean, you know, the hype is out of control. I think it helps being in the New York area and all that stuff. And then they got, how long is the show? It's like 12 hours long or something like that.
Yeah, the pre-show is starting at 6 o'clock this year. It's been starting previous years at 5. It's only an hour, and then the main thing gets going at 7. And in recent years, it's been, you know, ending around midnight. Or even when I went to Orlando a couple years ago for WrestleMania 33, it was past midnight that the show ended, and its pre-show started at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern. So it's a long day, long night.
Let's go to Dave in Youngstown, Ohio. Dave, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, first of all, great program as always. And I just wanted to weigh in on five of my greatest wrestlers of all time. I have Ric Flair first, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Sting, Randy Savage, Shawn Michaels, and honorable mention to Don the Rock Morocco.
Okay, Don, you're going way back on that one.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. I remember in 1983, he fought Jimmy Superfly Snuka inside a steel cage.
That's the moment that Mick Foley always credits for getting him into wrestling when he saw Jimmy Superfly do the Superfly Flash off the splash off the top of the cage.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. We got a lot of guys weighing in with their wrestling related stuff. As it is the big wrestling weekend, WrestleMania, one of the things going on. But now it's time to get to everything I have not in another one. What's up, Anthony? What's up first?
So we talked a little bit about Dwayne Wade this morning, and I wanted to get your thoughts on the story where Dwayne Wade said that he will be seeking therapy for life after basketball.
I think that is a smart thing for him to do. I don't think there should be a stigma around therapy. I attend therapy. It's been helpful for me. You know, self-awareness is very important, and how to deal with some of the things that might pop up into your head. You know, how to deal with some of your anxieties or whatever it may be. And you think about where Dwayne Wade's coming from. His entire life has been basketball, right? Like, his entire life, essentially. He started playing when he was very young, I'm sure, going to Marquette and getting drafted into the NBA and working. Every time he got hurt, working to make sure he could get back on the court. You know, working to make sure he was the best version of himself he could be so he could win those championships. The one in Miami before LeBron got there, the two when LeBron got there, to have a Hall of Fame career, working. Now he's, how old is Dwayne Wade? 35, 36, something like that. And you get to that, 37 years old, same age as me. So imagine if I, you know, if you just told me I couldn't do what I had worked my whole life to do and had done every day of my life for 30, not quite 37 years, but you get the point. That's a big shock. That's a big change. And sometimes guys have difficulty with that. So I think it's a good thing for Dwayne Wade to say publicly, because anything that removes the stigma from that sort of stuff is good. And then I think personally for Dwayne Wade, it's a good idea, because that has to be a tough adjustment. He's already well-adjusted enough to know that it's something that he's going to have to adjust to, so I commend him for it.
John Calipari got a lifetime contract this week from Kentucky. Not everyone is too pleased by it. John Calipari reacting to his critics of the lifetime contract, saying, "Why are you mad?" So does any coach deserve a lifetime contract, Robin?
I mean, deserve, what have you. If I'm a Kentucky fan, I would be happy about this. I'd be very happy about this. You know, I'm a little uncomfortable how these college coaches almost become deities, where, you know, they're worshipped at their place, to the point where we've seen scandals, like legitimate scandals, with college coaches, and they're still defended because of how revered they are. But when you're just talking about the University of Kentucky and Calipari specifically, his scandals in the past are relatively minor, like recruiting-related stuff, and his success speaks for itself. I mean, I know people like to say, oh, he hasn't won a championship in however many years, or he's only won one championship despite having all these great recruiting classes. That's all nonsense. If the standard is championship or nothing, then everyone's a failure. Everyone's a failure. John Calipari, since he's got to Kentucky, I think he's been there 10 years, four Final Fours. So 40% of the time, he's going to the Final Four. Seven Elite Eights. 70% of the time, he's going to the Elite Eight. When he's your coach, because of his recruiting, because of his coaching, you are in the mix every single year, and that's all you can ask for. It's a single elimination tournament. It's ridiculous to hold guys to a championship or bust standard.
To the NFL, a bombshell report came out this week about Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. Packers had some serious issues. Bleacher Report dives into what was a toxic time in Green Bay. So who's more to blame for the dysfunction in Green Bay, Robin? McCarthy or Rodgers?
More to blame for the dysfunction? I would probably say Rodgers. More to credit for the success, I would also say Rodgers, right? So, like, I mean, those two things can be simultaneously true. Look, when you're the quarterback and you're a great quarterback, people are going to put up with a lot of stuff. I mean, look at Ben Roethlisberger, still in Pittsburgh. And he's not at his best what Aaron Rodgers was at his best, even though he's a Hall of Fame quarterback in his own right. And people are still putting up with it in Pittsburgh. And you know, there's lots to question Big Ben about. Aaron Rodgers, I think the problem that he is running into is that we're now questioning his ability. And you can no longer get away with that stuff when your ability wanes. People will let it fly when your ability's there. And I think that's the problem you're seeing with Aaron Rodgers. He's going to need to produce on the field, or else his reputation is going to continue to go sour. But it's hard for me to put if you're using the word dysfunction on Mike McCarthy, when the quarterback, the visible face of that franchise, doesn't like the guy from jump, which seemed to be the case. Now, Aaron Rodgers is better at his job than Mike McCarthy is at his job, but that doesn't mean Aaron Rodgers is innocent of the things that people have said about him, because we've now heard it from enough people where it's not like some random person making an accusation.
Reportedly, Russell Wilson has given the Seahawks an April 15th deadline to hash out his new contract. So will the deal get done? Must Seattle strike a new deal with its franchise QB?
I think, yeah, it'll get done. Look, it's always tough to build around the quarterback when the quarterback's getting paid that much. We've seen that. One of the reasons the Seahawks were able to win before is Russell Wilson was not making that much. At the same time, there's a difference between a starting quarterback and a franchise quarterback. Russell Wilson is a franchise quarterback. He's one of the five best quarterbacks in football. You absolutely have to sign him if you're Seattle.
And finally, Robin, we got the first trailer for Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. It was released this week. So what's your favorite Joker?
Heath Ledger, for sure. Heath Ledger, that's probably my favorite movie out of the DC. I never liked the third one as much. The one with Bane, whatever that one was called. It's not bad, per se. It's just not...
Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, as good as the other ones. But I think the Jack Nicholson one was a little more cartoony. I thought the Heath Ledger one hit the exact right tone. The Joker might be the most interesting character in DC to me. I wouldn't say my favorite, because I don't want to make like a murderous psycho my favorite. But the
what did you make of Jared Leto's Joker?
I never saw that movie. Enough people told me that it was horrible, and their product did not have a great track record from what I had seen, that I didn't feel the need to see that. So the Jokers I have a frame of reference for are Jack Nicholson, Heath Ledger, and Cesar Romero.
I've always enjoyed Mark Hamill, the animated.
People love that version as well, yes. From the animated Batman. That movie looks kind of intriguing to me, but I also understand the people who are saying, like, don't try to make us sympathetic for the Joker. Don't tell us his origin story either. But I still can't think about anything else but Endgame. We're only 3 weeks away from Endgame. I got my tickets. That was the craziest movie ticket buying experience I've ever had. But I'm in a theater opening night, Avengers Endgame. I'll be back in this chair next week. Same Robin time, same Robin channel. It's been the Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.